Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Chief Writer for NOLA.com with the Tulane Green Wave, Gary Smith. Gary, thanks so much for joining us, and finally, game day, brother. Finally.
Thank goodness. I'm tired of talking about stuff where I don't actually know what's going to happen and just previewing. I'm so excited that there's going to actually be a game to review after tonight. It'll be interesting.
Gary, over the last 12 days, we've had on head coach John Sumrall. Mm-hmm. Twice, and he didn't back off either. The first time when I questioned him about Darian Minsaw, and now there's different all across the college football world that he is going to be the starter. That's no shock to us, because he basically was telling you without telling you, Darian's my guy. You know, he's my guy. And then we had him on for Tulane Tuesday. He just went and just gave all kind of real high-level adjective responses about how good Minsaw was. And that, I might play a couple quarterbacks in this game. I'm not going to back off of that. And he said, I heard what Selfo told you, because, I've known Frank for a long time, and he never plays one quarterback. He's also a guy that plays multiple quarterbacks. And, Frank came on here, and he was like, Mike, you know me better than that. I might play all three. You got two coaches that potentially you could see six quarterbacks tonight, at least five, I think.
That'll be a Yeoman Stadium record if there are six quarterbacks in the game. And I trust Frank Selfo says he's going to play all three of his guys. Sumrall would not commit to that on Tuesday, because I think rightfully he said, depends on the flow of the game. He's not predicting what's going to happen exactly, and they're going to let the flow of the game determine. And you'll definitely see two quarterbacks from Tulane, but I think there's a good. He said he would like to see all three, because again, I mean Mintz is going to start. He played better than the other two quarterbacks in both scrimmages. He took almost all of the top first team reps in practice since then, but they don't know what he's going to do in a game. There's no way to know, because he's never played in a game. They think they know what they're going to see, but you don't really know until the game. So they kind of, they'd like to see the three quarterbacks tonight, just because Kansas State's coming to town next Saturday, and they want to put the guy in that gives them the best chance to beat Kansas State. And I think they totally think that's Minsaw right now. But you got to see him in a game first before you really know.
I think, Gary, one of the things when you have a young quarterback, you want to kind of lean on your rushing attack. So Micah becomes the guy here. But the one guy, and you can comment about Micah and what he means to this football team, because that's kind of part of John's DNA. He likes that bell cow guy that can kind of take over. And we saw it at Troy with Vidal when he was the guy. But one guy he has, and he's been on here maybe three or four times over the summer, he has consistently talked about at wide receiver, Dante Fleming, over and over and over again. Not the five-star recruit, not that maybe some of the other guys. It's been Fleming, and he's talked about how good he is, not only as a player, but what he's become as a leader in that locker room.
Yeah, I mean, Fleming has been the best receiver on the roster from the start of preseason camp till now. Now, I wouldn't say I'm a skeptic, because that's too harsh a term. He was pretty good in preseason camp last year, nothing like this year, and then he really, really struggled once the season started. So that they've got a really talented wide receiver room, but all of them have a lot to prove this year. But if you go by practice, I mean, if Dante Fleming plays like he practiced, he's going to have a monster year. I still can't get over that catch he made on the sideline when he had a perfect cut, when Minsaw threw a couple weeks ago, when Minsaw threw like a 45-yard bomb down the sidelines and he was perfectly covered and couldn't even get his right hand up. And he just reached up with one hand and just latched onto it like it was nothing for a huge game. He's made all the plays. Now he has to do it in games. But if you go by what's gone on in the last 4 weeks, he's their best wide receiver.
Well, what's the situation health-wise with Chaz Preston? Because I know Coach had brought up that, you know, he was fighting an injury and we hope to get him early. Mm-hmm. Do you expect to see him in this game, or it'll probably be in games two or three?
Yeah, he definitely will not play in this game. He has not practiced once in preseason. He had a hamstring injury. They thought it had healed. This was before preseason started, and he made it a little worse, not doing a whole lot in a conditioning drill. So they've been very careful with him. He was on crutches up until this week.
Whoa.
Now, Sumrall said that was precautionary. Like, they just didn't want him to make the hamstring worse, and that was a way to keep him from doing it. But the last thing Sumrall told to me is that he could be back in week two, or he might not be back until week three, four, or five. And I would lean more towards that later time period than the second week, but it's no guarantee. Hamstrings are tricky.
Yes.
It's a matter of, you just don't want to put a guy back out where he's going to re-injure it again. But this is a guy that has not practiced one time since preseason practice started. So I would lean towards that later time period than the earlier one for him.
For fans that haven't seen him before, maybe didn't watch Monroe last year, I think everybody wants to see Aiden Huntington. I mean, because, I know one thing, coming from coaches and players, comment is, whoa, he's a lot better than we thought he was, when they got him here. And I know Oklahoma was after him, but man, has he made an impact. And if you watched him last year at UMonroe, okay, he's not prototypical build. I would say he's probably 6'1.5", but it's his leverage skills, his ability to use his arms and hands, but that initial burst off the snap. Mm-hmm. Good luck, buddy. You better get your hands on him real quick, or he's past you.
Yeah, I'll tell you one person who does not want to see him. That's Frank Selfo. He said that they're game planning specifically for him. That's how good this guy is. That's the guy that they're game planning for on Tulane's defense. He said, because if you don't, you're done. This is a guy. He played at Kent before he transferred to UL Monroe. Yeah. And he just broke out last year. He had an absolutely terrific year. It's that instinct. He was out for 2 weeks in practice at Tulane with a minor knee injury. He came back this week, and the first play of the first 11-on-11 drill that they did in the goal line drill, he just ran right around the end and stuffed a running back short of the goal line. He's a player, and again, that's the first for Frank Selfo. He specifically said, because I was talking about how many new players Tulane had on their roster that weren't even in spring practice. He says, but those are really talented players. And then he specifically mentioned Aiden Huntington and said, they've got an absolutely game plan for that guy, because if you don't do that, he's going to dominate.
So Shaz Preston was one of those big name receivers brought in basically over the offseason, but Mario Williams from USC was another one. What have you kind of seen from him so far? I know that in the initial depth chart, he was one of those wide receiver. He was basically a starter at wide receiver. I think one of the three guys there.
He's a starter. He's really talented. I'd say the first week of spring drills when he came in, I felt like he was the best player on the team. Then he was kind of quiet for the rest of spring, kind of quiet for the first couple of weeks of preseason practice. He's come on a lot since then. You see all the skills. Now, this is a guy. There's a reason he transferred from USC, and that's that he did not have a very good year at USC last year. He had a pretty darn good year 2 years ago, right up until he muffed that kickoff against Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. But he had a drops problem last year. His numbers went down, and that was with Caleb Williams at quarterback. So he needed a fresh scene, and so he's got a lot to prove too. But he's ultra talented. The thing they talk about him is, you think a guy that comes from USC might have a big head, doesn't want to do all of the workouts, and he's been the exact opposite. And every single day in practice, they have these things that monitor players' speed and how many steps they take. And among the wide receivers, he's number one in speed, and he's number one in how many steps he takes in practice every day, because he works so hard. So they like what they've seen. He has dropped a few passes in preseason at Tulane too. I don't know.
That's part of his DNA, Gary,
or something else. So that's the concern there. But he has a lot to prove this year. This is a guy. I mean, he wants to play in the NFL, and he's going to have a much better year this year than he did at USC last year to get to that point.
But Gary,
he's definitely going to start.
It is part of his DNA. You go back to his high school days, he dropped them. Okay. He dropped them at USC. He's dropped them at Tulane. Okay, and he's good for one drop a game. Now, if you can hit a big play with him, that sort of erases the one drop that might be off a bubble screen or something else. But I don't know if his it's not hands. I think it's more concentration with him.
That's what I suggested. I mean, I Summerall said no, but you know what's there's clearly been something there. And let's not forget the other receiver that Tulane has, Yolkeith Brown, another huge recruit. He wasn't married. He was a high 4-star recruit when he went to Texas A&M. Pretty much last year, he was better he was unbelievably good on jet sweeps. He wasn't always good running the right routes at Tulane. He's gotten much, much better. And he has the experience of having, he's the one returning receiver who played a lot for this team last year. And I think they've got a ton of talent with those three guys at wide receiver, but all of them have something to prove, because Yolkeith Brown didn't have great stats last year in the passing game. We've discussed Mario Williams, and Dante Fleming only caught 6 passes all year. So to me, that's the position with the highest ceiling and maybe a lower floor, depending on how these guys play, because they all have to prove it in games.
Yeah, that's interesting, Gary. But another position on the offensive line that I wanted to actually bring up with you was the center spot. And I think Mike and I have talked to you about this before, but Sincere Haynesworth being such a dog for basically 5 years with Tulane, and then moving on to the NFL. But then you go out and get a graduate transfer from Western Kentucky with Vincent Murphy. Kind of what have you seen from him? Because, you know, with all the question marks at quarterback, and, you know, you need a steady hand at the center position, which Mike and I always call the quarterback of the offensive line.
Yeah, with him, I'm just going to defer to what the coaches and players and teammates say about him, and they love him because there's so little contact that goes on in football practices now. It's hard for me to judge offensive linemen until the games are played. But this is a guy who started for 2 straight years at Western Kentucky. They love him. They think he's a terrific leader. And an excellent player. Very, very similar to Haynesworth, honestly, in that respect. And they're not this offensive line is one of the 10 most experienced offensive lines in the country in terms of number of college football starts and number of college football downs. And they would have been in a little trouble if they hadn't gotten a Mr. Murphy on the roster. And it helps that he also came in for spring drills too. So he's been around for a while now.
Gary, last question. I think if there's a question mark on this team, it's in the secondary, especially at corner, because of what you lost. Especially early in the season, the communication part, and a lot of crossing patterns, you're going to see that early from every team. I want to confuse you. Okay, I got him up to here. You're supposed to get him, or I'm supposed to keep him. It's one of those type things. I think in this game, I'll be interested to watch the communication skills in the secondary, because that's so crucial today when they spread you out 3 wide receivers and they throw the ball to the back and to the tight end, and you got him or I got him. There's some mental part in here that you're looking for one breakdown, and I think that's an area Coach Summerall, I think, will have his eyes closely on.
Nope. No doubt. They've got, they have 5 starters in the secondary, and they've got exactly one guy who played any significant amount for Tulane last year, and that's Bailey DeSpaney, who I think is going to have a huge year at strong safety. But the 2 cornerbacks they brought in after spring drills, Micah Robinson from Furman and Jonathan Edwards from Indiana State, they've looked good in practice. But it's a step up in competition coming from the schools where they came from. And you're right, Jared, they've got pretty big shoes to fill with Jarius Monroe in particular. So I'm with you. I'm going to be watching those guys. They have looked good. Rashawn Pleasant, a redshirt freshman, he's looked good in preseason practice, but let's see what they do in games. And I agree with you. That is a position that if there's a concern on defense, it's going to be that. And you're right. There have been some busts in preseason and don't know who's at fault on some of them, but there have been some plays where guys were wide open, where there just wasn't somebody in the right spot. And that clearly is the number one issue for Tulane going into the year, or the number one thing to watch.
Gary, I'm going to let you go. I know you got work to do tonight, but appreciate your time, and go Wave.
I can't wait to see the game. Now, next week, I'll really know a lot more about a team that's pretty much brand new at half their positions.
That's right. Hey, we better get used to it at our age. That's not going to change.
That's modern college football.
That's it. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it, bud. All righty. Gary Smith does a great job covering the Tulane Green Wave for NOLA.com. And again, tonight, 7 o'clock, Tulane against Southeastern Louisiana. And I know one thing, Frank Selfo is going to have a little trick or two up his sleeve.
Oh, he always does. We love Coach Selfo, too.
And Frank's deal about, man, why are you asking me that? Come on, you know damn well I'm playing three quarterbacks. But that's Frank being Frank.
It could be six between both of them. Man. We'll have to see.
Over and under's five, so you'd have to pick it on that.
Yeah, right.